The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You can you know the number for that. You can also catch us on the Twitch channel. Put your comments on there. Miss the first hour. Very sportsy. Hit your Astros. Hit your Texans. Hit my hair. We talked about that. So plenty of good stuff on there. And we had a visit from Jong Lee, which all available on podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. Always good to talk to Jong. We go to the Twitch where thoughts on Anthony Bennett and Ben McLemore pick up by the Rockets. I think it's kind of your standard Rocket. Let's go pick up former lottery
picks. Out the roster.
Yeah, and hope that maybe at one point they develop. I've never seen anything out of Anthony Bennett that indicates he's ever going to be an NBA player. You know, McLemore showed some flashes early, but then he hasn't really done much. I mean, they're just hoping that one of those guys fits what they do and you wind up having a useful player. But I wouldn't count on either one of them for anything.
Did you see your boy Troy Tulowitzki retired?
I did see that.
Your favorite player?
He's not my favorite player.
Yeah, he was.
I enjoyed him when he played for the...
When he was a Blue Jay.
When he was a Blue Jay and the Blue Jays were winning. Then, yeah, and that because that's when the Astros were not winning for the most part. So, yeah.
It was convenient for you.
Yeah, well, it works.
And then other baseball news, Blake Snell. Getting his elbow cleaned up. That's a tough break. Yeah. It's not like he's been fantastic this year. But
no, but he's also on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
That's a bad beat there. Fortunately, I did one of those year-long draft things. And basically, it just takes the best scores for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I still got Verlander and Cole and Chris Archer and Zach Greinke, so I'll probably be okay.
You're hanging in.
I'll probably be okay, but I hate seeing that happen. Because you want as much, you know, much variety as possible.
Yeah.
So, Paul C. says, O'Brien's buzzing the building translation. I couldn't get that dickweed out of here fast enough. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, is Bill O'Brien required to talk to the press during training camp?
Well, there are NFL rules that you have to, there's so many times you have to address the media. But
God, it just seems like such a waste.
It is a waste because honestly, and I'll go to a couple training camp practices. I have no interest in going to anything that Bill O'Brien has to say after practice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it's just,
I mean, he doesn't really say anything after the games.
No. The only times he'll ever say anything is if you catch him in the off season when he's at some event and
he's had a few pops.
So
Bill and I don't run in the same circle. So the social circle. So no. It hasn't happened yet.
And in all honesty, I don't think from a personality standpoint, I don't need you to be a good dude. I don't need you to be a extrovert as a head coach. I just need you to be a good head coach.
Right.
And if you're not going to be a good head coach, well, I don't want to say he's not a good head coach. I think he's a good head coach. I don't think he's a great head coach. And if you're not going to be great, at least have some personality. At least have some charisma.
It's not my job to do that.
It's not his job to do that.
So, how do you think Rex Ryan kept getting jobs? Rex had personality.
I don't know how he kept getting jobs. He was not a good coach.
Rex was like a dog. He's got personality. Pulp Fiction reference. Jay Garcia asked, thoughts on Zeke not reporting to camp? Not really surprised by that.
I'm not either.
And if you're the Cowboys, you've still got two more years of Zeke under your control, not to mention a franchise tag after that. Yeah. I don't think you're in a big hurry to do it. And
you still got to figure out if you're going to take care of Dak. You got to figure out Amari Cooper.
Well, that's the problem. They've got a bunch of guys that they have to sign.
And this dude wants more money, and he's not even to the point of his career where he's supposed to be asking for more money.
Yeah, he's got, you know, next year with the fifth year option is when you should start talking about it. But I also don't blame him. I mean, he probably looks at it and says, this team doesn't win without me. I deserve to be paid more.
The problem is he hasn't been paid enough that he can just, I'm sitting out.
Yeah. He can't Le'Veon Bell it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He'll be there.
He'll wind up showing up.
It'll be what it always is. It'll be, he's fined for missing this many days. And then when he comes back, well, we're not going to fine him for those days that he missed. And everything will be fine.
Yeah. Did they get DeMarcus Lawrence signed, or was that, I can't remember if they got him signed.
I don't know if they did.
Because that's another big name that I know they had to take care of. But yeah, Amari Cooper's up. Dak, you have to decide on. So, yeah, they did get DeMarcus done, if I'm not mistaken. So, that was a big one. There's somebody else, though, on the defense that they have to get done. I don't know who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I saw yesterday that the Dak extension is expected to happen during training camp. So, and I'll be honest, with Zeke Elliott, it's kind of the same thing as Tyreek Hill. There's a lot of red flags with Zeke Elliott, and he's a really good player.
Yeah, Byron Jones is the other one. Thank you, Texter. Appreciate that.
So they've got Dak, Zeke, Byron Jones, Amari Cooper all wanting extensions. I just can't picture Elliott getting one that early when you've got those other guys that have got to be taken care of. It just doesn't really make sense. But I still think the off-field stuff is, I mean, it's probably at least slowing down them wanting to give this guy the moon, right?
Yeah, but I'd put that in the contract just like I would with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And
honestly, if I'm the Chiefs, I would trade Tyreek Hill. I think you could get a nice haul for him.
Oh, you certainly could. I wonder why on earth you were willing to trade Marcus Peters, but you're willing to keep this guy.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I sat next to O'Brien in an Astros game last year and he wasn't such a P. Rick in that setting. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, must be nice to have the great seats.
Yeah. You're sitting there with Tillman, weren't you?
You're probably sitting there with Tillman and
Jim
John
Crane,
Granato.
And somebody says Jalen Smith coming up too.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys and a lot of mouths to feed in Dallas.
And a lot of people saying Astros traded Tyler White for literally a scrub.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
about what you could get from him.
Yeah. Squeeze a call in. Chris, what's up?
Yeah, yes, sir. Got sports.
Sports.
Hey, I was just curious of your guys' opinion and basically the comparison of Bill O'Brien versus Jason Garrett. I mean, I pretty much see the exact same coach, and they keep getting hired on and keep getting extensions.
I mean, yeah.
Similar. We've talked about that a lot in the past. I think the big difference is O'Brien has more power
than Garrett does. Yeah.
And, you know, and that was a big joke a couple of years ago is who would you rather have? And we said Garrett because his contract's shorter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they're very similar in that, yeah, they show you enough every now and then to think, okay, maybe this is the guy. But in the end, what have they really accomplished?
Boy, I've never thought Jason Garrett's the
guy. Yeah, I agree. I've always thought you could do better. Well, I kind of think that about O'Brien, too. But, you know, at some point, a coach is what he is. I mean, that's what these guys, you know, they've been in the league long enough now. Do you really expect them to suddenly coach a Super Bowl champion?
No.
I kind of see them in the same boat.
Yeah. Jason Garrett, 5-3 the year he took over as the interim. First three full seasons, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. 2014 rolls around, they're like, man, you have another 8-8 season. We're going to fire your ass. 12-4.
Yeah.
Makes the playoffs. Goes 1-1. All right. You're safe. Here's an extension. Next year, 4-12. Bro, come on. What's that about? You keep this up, we're going to have to let you go. Next season, 13-3. That's what we're losing the first round of the playoffs, of course. Then back to 9-7, missed the playoffs. 10-6, makes the playoffs. I mean, it's about what he is. I mean, he's not I don't think he's a guy who's going to make your team significantly better. And I feel the same way about Bill O'Brien.
You know what he is? He's Mike McCarthy without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
And here's kind of the dark secret of the NFL. With few exceptions, the guys who we consider to be the best coaches have the best players with them, the best quarterbacks. Like, let's face it, if Bill Belichick had never found Tom Brady, does anybody think Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time? Probably not.
Do we not think Sean Payton is a great coach if he doesn't have Drew Brees?
Right. I mean, I guess it's a chicken and egg thing.
It is. It's a combination of the two. I think Sean Payton could win a lot of games without Drew Brees. I don't think he could win a Super Bowl without him.
Now, I think there's exceptions to that rule because I think Sean McVay is one of the best coaches in the NFL. And I think he's got a very mediocre quarterback that he makes look a lot better than he is. I don't think Jared Goff's very good, but Sean McVay makes him look really serviceable. But for the most part, the guys who we consider the great coaches have great quarterbacks. And if you've got a great quarterback and we still don't really think of you as a great coach, yeah, that probably tells you something.
281 says, we thought the same thing about Gary Kubiak, and he was able to turn that around and win a Super Bowl. He was also in a better position there with Peyton Manning, for one thing, and John Elway was really running that organization, let's be honest. And it hasn't necessarily worked out since he left either. But the Kubiak thing, he had to go. The team had tuned him out by the time he left. And, you know, that happens sometimes. And it's pretty rare when a coach gets canned and goes somewhere else and wins. Just doesn't happen very often. Nope. So,
yeah, except Bill Belichick.
Belichick's an example. Yeah. But, you know, John Gruden, here's a real good example. Got canned by the Bucks. Everybody wanted John Gruden back because he's so good on TV. How do you think the Raiders are feeling about that 10-year deal now?
Not great.
So, all right. We are going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz.
Hey guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And so I have, we're talking about Tarantino movies earlier this week. USA Today ranked them all.
Okay.
Including
the new one?
The new one.
Okay.
So let's see what you think. Number 10, Kill Bill Volume 2. Not as good as one. I tend to agree.
Not
with
as
that.
Good as one. I don't know if I. That's tough for me.
Okay.
I like that movie more than most people do.
Number 9, Jackie Brown.
That's low.
That's low for me. Number 8, Death Proof.
That's probably about right, but Death Proof is it's one of the most underrated films that he did. I like it.
Number 7, Django Unchained.
See, the problem is I like all of these.
I like them too, but
that's probably fair for Django.
I would have Jackie Brown ahead of it for sure. Number 6, Reservoir Dogs.
That's offensive to me.
Yeah, that is way too low.
Way too low.
You know what's sad? Aaron doesn't know what the hell we're talking about in here.
Aaron, you never seen Reservoir Dogs?
I saw it years and years ago, yeah.
Okay.
Could I use a refresher to sit down and watch it? Yes, I could.
Well.
But there's a lot of movies like
that. The whole conversation about tipping is hilarious, not to mention the really cool violence. They have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood number 5. I can't speak to that because I haven't seen it.
If they think it's better than Reservoir Dogs, I'm pretty excited.
Hateful Eight number 4.
I think that's an underrated movie, but maybe
a little overrated here.
Yeah, too high for this list.
Number 3, Kill Bill 1.
I'll go a little too high for this list.
Yeah.
I would have had Reservoir Dogs ahead of Hateful Eight and Kill Bill.
Agreed. Inglourious,
the top two are correct.
Inglourious Bastards number 2.
Yeah,
and Pulp Fiction one.
Those two are in the. And Reservoir Dogs are my top 3.
Yeah, me too. And it just doesn't matter what order you put them in. I go back and forth as to which one I like the most. But I'm really excited about this Once Upon a Time in America because if they've already got it ranked that high, it's got to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So. There you go. I got my Tarantino fix for the day.
Yeah, I made plans now to watch that with my buddy as soon as I get back from vacation.
I may go see it this weekend. Just see. Ashton said John McClane just tweeted his first training camp with the Oilers was 1977. I was negative 15 years old. Yeah, John's been doing this a long time, man. I remember when he first started covering the Texans, my dad would take us out there to camp. In 70, I was like 12 or 13 years old back then. And there was one year the camp was in Kerrville. And I got to ride in the little Oiler helmet. You remember the helmet they used to have?
Yeah.
To ride around in that. That was when, I don't remember the exact year, but they had both Lynn Dickey and Dan Pastorini as the quarterbacks. Which, those were two pretty good quarterbacks.
Not bad.
But yeah, I'm old and I don't remember that. Peter said, didn't the owner derail Belichick's tenure at Cleveland by announcing his intention to move the team during the season? I don't really remember. I know they were never as good as...
They weren't good until they got to Baltimore.
No. But, yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, man, I've got... just depends on what direction we want to go here. I've got tons of NFL stuff. I've got tons of non-sportsy stuff. I've got a story that's a little non-sportsy, but it surprises the hell out of me. When you think of people who are more likely to be distracted while driving by texting and things like that, would you say more young people or more old people?
Hold on. Say the question.
People
again?
Who are distracted by texting and stuff while driving.
I would think I think young people are better at it because now, like, the kids who take their phones to school, they know how to text without looking at the phone. Like, they've got a feel for how to use the text thing without even looking at the phone now. Like, there's kids who can keep their phone in their backpack and send full-on text messages that way. Old people have to, like, look and type in with every finger. I would say phones distract old people even more than young people.
What would you think, Aaron?
I kind of agree with AJ's because there's times I remember I got scolded by Grease Monkey one time because I sent 3 text messages back to back without looking at my phone while I was having a full conversation with him. He yelled at me that I was too young.
Old people are worse. According to AAA, drivers between 55 to 75, which I'm not in that yet for another few months, took their eyes off the road an average of 8 seconds longer than those aged 21 to 36. 8 seconds longer.
That's not surprising.
It says, taking your eyes off the road for 2 seconds doubles the risk of crashing.
Man, 2 seconds, that's it.
Yeah, more than 3,000 people died in motor vehicle crashes involving distracted drivers in 2017. I guess we don't have 2018 yet.
Unfortunately, the voice-to-text thing isn't perfected yet.
Yeah.
I wish it would get perfected, because I would just use that.
See, I never... Well, to be fair, I don't drive far enough to where I can't wait 10 minutes to get home to look at my phone.
Yeah.
But I don't talk on the phone when I'm driving and I don't text. Now, occasionally if it's on the, like I'll have it on the Bluetooth and somebody calls me, I'll talk if it's important. But I mean, there's almost nothing that's not is so important that it can't wait for me to get home. But I don't drive that much except to come here.
Right. You walk or bike everywhere.
Well, but I mean, just when I'm in the car, like if people text me when I'm driving home from the office to home, I won't even look at the phone until I get home.
Gotcha. I'm a distracted driver. I'll admit it.
Well, I'm old and I've almost been killed by idiots, so I just tend to be more careful. And hey, that's three already at 5:27. But I guess I'm just really paranoid about driving in the city because I know how awful the drivers are. So when I die, I want it to be because, you know, it wasn't anything I did. That I was doing my best to try to avoid getting killed.
Yeah.
So that's my approach. I don't know if it's the right approach, but it's my approach.
Whatever works for you.
But I also, if I had to
I'm just waiting until I die.
I know, like, we have a lot of people have to have long-ass commutes. So if you're commuting from Beaumont to Houston, it's kind of hard not to, if somebody's texting you about business or whatever or something important, it's kind of hard to go an hour and a half.
Right.
And so I understand that a little more, but, you know, it's not for me. And what I will do is, like, the times we've had shows in Beaumont, if somebody's texting me or it's important and I look down and see that it's on there, I'll pull over and, you know, someplace and do it. Hey, we're going to do an interview next.
Yeah. I got to talk to Max Holloway, who is the UFC's featherweight champion. He is fighting on Saturday against Frankie Edgar at UFC 240. God, 240.
It's already to 240.
That's crazy. Wow. So we'll hear from him on the other side of this.
All right. Right now I'm going to tell you.
Before you do that, did you see this tweet? I can't let this go for two segments. We'll have to. So this will be like a long tease. We'll get into this after the interview.
What tweet?
From Tracy. Her plastic surgeon is the same guy that did your head.
Yeah, that's what she was telling me.
So, the same guy who probably touched Tracy's boobs touched your head.
Yeah. He had gloves on.
Oh, okay.
So
you don't think there's any boob DNA on your head?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And there's probably been a few other boobs before then.
Probably so.
But, yeah, no, I can't say enough nice things about the guy. I had such a great experience, and I'm not done getting stuff done with him.
Did you look through the before and after photos in the office to see if Tracy was in there?
I did not. I did not know that she had been in there.
You didn't know that Tracy had fake boobs?
Well, she just now told me that she'd gone to him for stuff, so I didn't know.
Okay.
But
do they do that? There's got to be like a book in there, a photo book of before and after boob jobs.
Oh, I'm sure, but since I wasn't getting a boob job, I didn't look.
Like, I would just think it'd be on the waiting room table.
No. I never did
that's
any of
that.
That's
what I would do if I were a plastic surgeon.
Here's how it went. I met with him personally, and I met with some of the people on his staff, and I loved what he had to say. And once he taught me through the process, I'm like, okay, I'm in. That's simple. So, and I'll be honest, I had gone to I'd looked at like three or four other possibilities, and I'd finally just decided this wasn't for me because it just so many of the things that we're doing where we're like, well, we take your hair and then we make a wig out of it or we do this. And I'm like, man, that's just not for me. So once you started telling me what it was about, I was totally into it. And I'm really excited about it, and I'm glad I did it. And I don't know how it's going to work out long term, but it sure looks like it's going to be great. Just like if you go to my friends at Lightstream and get those credit card bills knocked down a little bit. You can pay off your credit card balances, start saving money with Lightstream by getting a credit card consolidation loan. You can get rates as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. That's lower than your average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. And here's this. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. I had a couple people ask me about it today. I said, go to lightstream.com/Fred. And you'll be fine. They have no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. Plus, you can get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. The online application is so easy. You can apply right from your phone. They want people with good credit to get a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Right now, just for my listeners, apply to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program once again, been on with us a couple times, always appreciate it, when Max Blessed Holloway joins us on the program. Max, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How you doing, boss?
Cannot complain, my friend. This is a fun fight, at least on paper, between you and Frankie Edgar at UFC 240. Obviously, it had been a really, really long time since you'd been on the wrong side of a fight. And Dustin Poirier, you guys fight for the interim 155 title. He wins, and that was your first loss, I believe, since 2013. What was the feeling then? Like, because at some point you start to think, man, I can't lose. What was the feeling after that night? And were you instantly ready to get back to it, or what went through your mind?
It is what it is, you know. Before I took that fight in April, I told them, look, this is what I want to do. You know, whatever is the outcome of this fight, I want to fight in July and defend my 45 title. And that was always the plan, you know. And we took an L, you know, learning curve, not a loss. And we learned a lot, you know. Like my post after that fight, you know, life is like shoots and ladders. Sometimes you got to go down the slide to climb back up a bigger ladder. And that's what we do, you know. It's not the end of the world, you know. And people who think that they're not going to ever lose again, it kind of blows my mind, you know. It is what it is. These things happen. This is life. We're all humans. And we're on to the next one, you know. A true champion is a champion that can get knocked down and get back up. And he is about to find out how true of a champion I am come Saturday night.
I think it's pretty amazing that you've established yourself, you know, over the last 5 years as one of the greatest featherweights of all time, if not the greatest featherweight of all time, in the conversation for sure. And you've never run into Frankie Edgar. And I mean, obviously there's been circumstances before, but for your legacy as a featherweight, how important is this fight with Frankie Edgar, who's also, you know, probably in the top five of all time of that weight class?
Yeah, you know, It's not even a legacy for featherweight. It's a legacy of overall fighting period, you know, becoming the greatest pound-for-pound fighter in the world. He's a Hall of Famer for sure. And these are guys. These are guys that you want to fight. These are guys that, you know, when people go back and it's all said and done and people look at my record, like, oh, my gosh, he fought him. He beat him. So I can't wait. You know, I just can't wait. You know, this fight gets me super excited, and I can't wait to see him across the octagon for me.
Is this, you know, I look at your resume, and obviously Jose Aldo is the biggest feather in your cap. He's the other guy in that conversation for greatest featherweight of all time. But is this, you know, besides him, is this the only other guy where you've, like, this is a guy who was, when you were coming up in the sport, a guy that maybe you looked up to?
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's a guy I watch. You know, the UFC, he's a smaller guy, and he's doing amazing things. So, yeah, you know, UFC was around before WEC, so I definitely saw him before I saw Aldo. And then I hovered towards Aldo because Aldo was doing his striking, you know, and Frankie's more, he can strike, but he's more of a wrestler. So it was just crazy. It was just crazy to even think about, like, how long time ago we did. You know, I opened the main card for him when he was fighting for a title, and now we're here fighting for a title in a main event. So life is wild.
You mentioned, you know, Frankie, you know, not exactly what most people consider a striker. I've always thought Frankie, especially with footwork, one of the most underrated, like, boxers that you'll see, especially in the smaller weight divisions. How much respect do you have for him as a striker?
I have a lot of respect for him as a striker. You know, I mix it up well. You know, he's a striker, a wrestler, and like I say, you know, box, he got some knockouts on his record. He'd be hurting people with his hands, so I can't wait. You know, this fight is super exciting, and I can't wait to be in there with him. You know, you don't really figure things out until you get in there with your opponent, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
You know, Frankie's 37 years old. And obviously, this, I mean, if he were to lose this fight, this is probably his last title shot. This is the last time he'll probably be able to climb the ladder at this stage of his career. But when you see what happened, you know, a couple weeks ago, when a guy like Uriah Faber, who's been on the shelf and is 40 years old, he comes out and starches a young up-and-coming guy. I mean, do you still have, like, a healthy, you know, respect, even though this guy's old? You've got to go in thinking, I'm fighting prime Frankie Edgar?
Yeah, you know, who knows? This could be prime Frankie Edgar. We don't know. You know, who's to say put a date on prime? You know, I don't know. I don't know. In my mind, I want to fight to 35 to 37, so the guy's dangerous. He's dangerous everywhere, and I can't wait. You know, I'm not sleeping. You'd be stupid to be sleeping on this guy, you know. I'm the champion. You know, I got a throne to defend, and that's why we're here.
After a fight at 155, and, you know, obviously cutting the weight isn't as difficult at 55, and you're a large 45. How's the weight this cut? And after a round at 55, does it feel painful to have to go back and lose that extra 10 pounds?
No, not at all. You know, like I said, you know, before the Avery fight, that's what we told him. I told him I wanted to come back in the summer and defend the 145 title no matter what happened. And, you know, I got a great team. I got a great medical staff that helps me out with this. And I feel great. I feel strong. And you guys are all going to see, you know, you guys are all going to see Saturday night.
How important is it for you to set the pace in this fight? Because it seems like when you win, you set the pace early on and you make guys work at an uncomfortable pace. Do you believe that's a strength of yours?
I believe that's a strength, you know. I believe my card is a strength, you know. And we'll find out, you know. Frankie is almost... People be calling me and Frankie just almost the same fighter, you know, the way we do and the way we pace on people. So I cannot wait. You know, I cannot wait to go in there and feel this pace and show our minds that, you know, may the best man win.
All right. That is the UFC featherweight champion, Max Holloway. He'll defend his title, UFC 240, on Saturday night against Frankie the Answer Edgar. Should be one of the great featherweight matches of all time. Appreciate you taking some time with us, Max, and good luck on Saturday. We'll talk to you next time, my man.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Max Holloway.
And still, bad things. It's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish.
This is The Blitz, The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The original Texas hunting show is back. Texas Trophy Hunters Association is proud to present the 43rd annual 2019 Hunters Extravaganza at the NRG Center, August 2nd through the 4th. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and three guests to the show. How about that? So at 5:50, caller 10 to 713-780-3776. You get a four-pack of tickets to scope out the biggest and best in camo, blinds, feeders, ATVs, optics, game calls, and more. For show and ticket info, head to Ticketmaster.com. Texter needs you to burp two more times to win $100 from his buddy.
I don't know if I've got it in me. I'm done energy drinking for the day.
You should probably grab another one.
I do have a Topo Chico in my office. I could maybe pound that and get you that dough.
That'll do it. That'll do it. You probably want him to split it with you, though.
Yeah. Yeah. What's my cut?
Yeah. You should get at least $25 for
my
that.
My body. I'm putting all these bubbles in it.
So he said people about 65 probably shouldn't be allowed behind the wheel as it is. I think that's too young, but I think at 75, you should have to go and pass the whole driving thing all over again.
I think, like, I don't think 65 is unreasonable to make you go in and retake the test. I think.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people.
I would say every 5 years after 60, even.
Yeah, I don't, just go I don't know. In. I know a lot of 65-year-olds who are sharp as a tack. But,
sure, and they let them take the test, and then they'll pass, and then they get five more years of.
Yeah, I think it's got to be 70 or higher. But
no,
but because that's when people really start going downhill. All right, let's do the Zadok.
I mean, you started going downhill way before.
Shut up. Shut up. I'm a better driver than you are.
Yeah, but I mean, not even physically, close. You're diminishing rapidly.
I am not.
And now, like, you said the other day you were driving and your your man pouch fell out of the bottom of your jeans and it got stuck behind the brake pedal and you couldn't
never
stop.
Never said anything like that at all. Not even close, but if that makes you feel better, go with that.
No, it gets terrifying for me.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about the guy who ate the gecko and he died from it and how dumb that was? There was a guy in Australia who swallowed a gecko because he was drunk. And then his, like, his...
Vaguely.
His balls exploded.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Well, we go to China, which is the Florida of Asia. I don't think there's any doubt.
Who lives in China?
Chinese.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank God you said that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go.
You're not one of those.
Not one of those people. A 35-year-old man in China hosted live stream shows every night. And I think this is kind of the Chinese equivalent of superhuman because he would eat various things to entertain his audience. He is from Haifei in the Anhui province, which I have no idea how to pronounce that. He had about 15,000 followers on Douyu, which I would have thought was a porn site, but it's apparently one of China's largest streaming platforms.
Okay.
So he had a wheel, and it had items such as centipedes, geckos, mealworms, vinegar, eggs, beer, and a clear liquor called Baijiu. He would spin the wheel during his show and then eat or drink whatever it landed on. So on July 18th, he was doing his show. It landed on centipedes. So he ate centipedes that were alive.
Jeez.
And, of course, guess what happened the next day? They found him dead. Apparently, they found him dead, and his live stream was still filming as he died. So you had an opportunity to see him die.
That's at least, it's nice of him to show us.
Says they suspect that eating the centipedes was the cause of death. Says it's not exactly known what type of centipede the man ate. Says most centipedes are not lethal, especially not their bites. But apparently this one was.
Not wise, guys.
So, again, stop eating centipedes. Stop eating geckos. You will die. Well, you know what? Never mind. If you're an idiot,
keep doing it, man.
Just keep doing it.
Kids don't do it, but grown-ups.
Kids don't eat that stuff.
Go for it, man.
Yeah. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, I had a bunch of good ones today that could have made it. But I love it when people are dumb and die from dumb things.
Yeah.
I feel zero sympathy. The other one I had today was actually here, where a man in his 60s, doesn't say how old, but you know maybe he should have been tested for vehicles. He was taken into custody early Thursday morning after he allegedly stole an ambulance to make a food and cigarette run.
I mean, listen, it's a medical emergency. How long can you go without food?
Not a shock here, but the ambulance was stolen from outside Cypress Creek Hospital, which is a mental health facility. They were able to electronically track the ambulance a couple miles south at a gas station. When they arrived, they opened the door and found the suspect inside with fried chicken and cigarettes. They asked why he stole the vehicle, and he said he needed a ride. He was taken into custody without further incident. He will be charged with unauthorized use of a motor vehicle.
That's not good. That's all you're charged with?
They did not release the man's name. They said he was previously a patient at the hospital where he stole the ambulance.
Okay.
Are we shocked?
So he's a lunatic.
He can't
even be that upset, right?
I don't know about lunatic. That seems strong.
Okay. Then
he's mentally challenged.
Okay. Or he's got mental health issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably the politer way to put it.
But, give him some credit. Take some stones to steal an ambulance.
That's true.
Oh, be honest. How many times have you walked by like a fire truck drunk and thought, oh, let's drive this down the block?
Never.
I've never done that.
I don't know if I could even put it in drive.
I couldn't either, but it'd be fun. Oh, well. So that was your bonus, Jewel. Jim, I've got a bunch of stuff that we just haven't gotten to that's been piling up. We were talking about Tarantino earlier. Apparently, he's... Like, remember last week we were saying Star Trek's probably going to be his last movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's talking about maybe doing Kill Bill 3.
I'd rather that than Star Trek.
I would too. But he was asked about a sequel during a podcast, and he said, me and Uma have been talking about it recently, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure I'm going to do it, but I have thought about it a little further. So, he said, if any movies were going to spring from any of my movies, it would be a third Kill Bill.
He's still trying to get laid by Uma Thurman, isn't he?
I think so. I think he's been working that forever.
He had the long game in mind with that one. I mean, I just keep putting in enough movies, make her a big star, you know, this will all work out. And you got to admit, these are like her biggest roles are in Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's her biggest role is the Pulp Fiction role.
Oh, without a doubt.
And then Kill Bill, they made her, like, the star of the movie.
Yeah.
And what else is Uma Thurman doing?
Well,
like, she really owes him at least mouth relief.
I would agree with that. But you can't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag me too.
Yeah.
But she should, honestly, she should just volunteer it.
Yeah. I mean, that should be a...
Yeah.
I mean... Boy, I'm looking at the rest of her
IMDb.
Filmography.
Yeah, what's she got?
She was in Batman and Robin as Poison Ivy.
Okay. That was a horrible movie. A
horrible movie, but that was kind of a big hit.
But where was she on... Where was she on the credits of that movie? Like, where was she like the...
Well, she was Poison Ivy. She was pretty big.
Right, but that was the movie that had George Clooney,
right,
more famous than her, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Alicia Silverstone, like when Alicia Silverstone was hot. And then...
Yeah, that was a long time
ago. Then what's the guy's name that played...
Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell. Yeah.
Hey, look at you contributing with a movie. Well done, Aaron.
It wasn't a great Batman movie, but I remember watching it as a kid because she had that giant push-up bra on, sitting there in the theater going, I just want to watch Poison Ivy all day.
You have to admit, though, Alicia Silverstone, mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was about as good as it got back then.
But she couldn't talk. I mean,
no, I mean, she was an idiot.
She had that lisp like that kid in Stranger Things.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But just way hotter.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. You can be that hot. And
yeah.
She was in Be Cool, which was the sequel to Get Shorty.
Okay.
She was hot in that. That was a main role. She was in that Percy Jackson as Medusa, so that wasn't a big role. She was in something called Nymphomaniac in 2013. How did I miss that?
I don't know.
Boy, she has done nothing since.
She wouldn't have a career without Quentin. Can we agree on that?
I have not heard of any of these movies.
Can we agree on that? She would have no career without him.
Probably not.
Do you think she's hot?
Yes. Although not in Kill Bill with the feet when she's getting out of the coffin.
Yeah.
Not hot there. But otherwise, yeah, I think she's hot.
I'm not on Team Uma is hot.
I've always had a thing for her. So, and really, like, I would say Uma in Be Cool was my favorite because she played this record executive who was James Woods' wife. He gets whacked, and Travolta winds up hooking up with her.
I think she's too skinny for my taste.
She is that. She's pretty darn skinny. But I don't know. I like her. I you know, she's not on my list, but she's definitely...
I mean, if you made a list of, like, she's not on your top 10 list?
Probably not top 10.
But if you made a top 25 list, she's on it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And if, you know, I mean, if I ran into her and had the opportunity.
You would scratch someone else off your top 10 list and put her on
it. I would definitely move her up.
But, right. Yeah. She's eligible for promotion. All right, guys. I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, check these guys out. You're probably just... paying whatever, you know, you signed up. Oh, I got to get homeowner's insurance. Just bundle it in with my, you know, my car insurance or whatever else. Okay, that's cool. You might save a few bucks by bundling with your other guys, but you could be saving $870 a year. That's what the average TGS customer saved this year. It's so simple to get started too. You just text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back. Boom. Full quote. Excellent coverage. within 15 seconds. It's as simple as that. And you don't need to wait around for your renewal because TGS is going to take care of all the back end, all the paperwork, all the hassle. So you can just free your mind and fatten your wallet, guys. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote today. You need a taste of your own medicine.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.